This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Good evening and welcome to your Wednesday edition of The Informant. Dean Beck with you. Today, the Andrews Labor government lifted the lid on the pot of gold at the end of Victoria's LGBTI rainbow. Turns out that last week's announcement of $15 million Pride Centre was just a teaser, with today's state budget revealing nearly $30 million of targeted initiatives for LGBTI communities. So just what do our LGBTI community leaders think of this rivers of gold? All will be revealed tonight on The Informer. Big announcement by the Labor government here in Victoria today with the state budget. Great things for LGBTI communities. Joining us is Sally Goldner, trans advocate, and a very happy day for you, Sally Goldner, no less.
Well, definitely, you know, the combination of announcements overall for all of our communities. But I think the big specific one here is the increase in funding for the Monash gender unit, the adults clinic, because that's been, you know, falling behind and had its waiting list blow out. So now that that's been caught up with the children's clinic a year ago, I think we've, you know, sort of some of the, we'll say, the pressure's gone out of the cooker on those two issues, which is great.
I'm told that this will bring Victoria almost into line with Amsterdam and make us one of, if not the world leader in trans healthcare.
Well, this is the thing. After the sort of teaser announcement last week, I did put that out onto some international lists I'm on, and it did start a conversation on how long the wait can be for an initial appointment. And by bringing the wait down, as we hope this will, we're doing, you know, I'm not saying there should ever, you know, be, I think, you know, any more than a month or two is too long, particularly for trans people at that critical point of realisation. But if we get close to that, we will definitely be up there at the compared to the rest of the world, where it's a lot worse.
Also some big money in mental health as well, and we know that trans people have challenges with their mental health, and this has got to play out in that realm as well, surely.
Absolutely, and I think this is the sensible spending that this is. I call it, in a sense, an investment. It's, you know, sort of going to, in the end, reduce an inequity, and hopefully, therefore increase equity of trans people, both within the LGBTI community and broader society. It's, in that sense, that's obviously a very sound investment to make, and most of all, of course, it's going to make individual lives a lot better.
Have you heard any criticism as yet from those that would perhaps be against our communities as to why LGBTI Victorians are being so spoiled this time around?
From within our own community?
No, externally.
Oh, look, you know, there was unfortunately, I think, a very inaccurate general editorial, in my opinion, in last Friday's Herald Sun, which said we're an inclusive state, why do we need to spend the money? And it's like, well, I think we do, you know, better than a lot of other places in Australia and the world on inclusivity, but, you know, just because we're less worse doesn't mean we don't need to spend. And so I think that was very extreme, but I think that the majority of Victorians, you know, do realise that there is that inequity for all of LGBTI and within it, and realise that there needs to be this investment to make up for everything that's happened in the past.
I would suggest that we have gone without for so long. This is just going some of the way to make up for it. You're quite right. Gender and Sexuality Commissioner's Roadshow. Rowena Allen is planning on doing a rural and regional Victoria roadshow. Great funding for that, and potentially a transformative initiative in our rural areas.
Well, look, definitely. We're all pretty much aware of the extra burden, you know, for regional, rural, and, you know, let's say in the furthest corners of our state, remote areas, where it can be very difficult to access services for anything. And then, of course, when you're part of a a smaller group in the community, such as any or all of LGBTI, and of course others, it becomes all the more, you know, exaggerated. And so I think that this is a really good thing. I think there is an increasing awareness. I mean, I'm thinking of the training work that TGV's been going out and doing in regional areas. There's now that awareness growing, and people want more. They want more education. So this will be really timely to build on that, and, you know, just spread it, you know, even further again. Hopefully, we will get up to those, we'll say, furthest corners of. Well, I'm not sure if the roadshow will go to Mildura and Mallacoota, but I think it could spread out really well and, again, ease that form of inequity in terms of metro versus regional as well.
I think you'll find that Mildura and Mallacoota are on Rowena's hot list. Sally Goldner, I want to thank you very much for your time, and thank you for spending it with us on The Informer this evening.
No worries, Ben. Have a good evening.
I'd like to hear from you too. 0427 JOY 949 is the SMS. You can email me onair@joy.org.au. Let me know your thoughts on the state government initiatives and the budget today. Joining us now on The Informer is the Shadow Minister for Equality, David Davis, with his take on today's budget. A lot in it for LGBTI Victorians. David Davis.
Quite a number of things, but I think right across the whole budget, a very significant increase in taxation and property hit on my various portfolios. Local government, I think, will be disappointed. And in terms of the increase in taxation across a number of areas, people who pay stamp duty, land tax, any of those will certainly be hit for six. LGBTI community, you know, certainly will look to the budget for some useful points.
I guess these initiatives, like $15 million for a Pride Centre, do have to be paid for. Surely taxing those who can afford to pay tax is how we get these things, is it not?
Well, I think that's a question. Those who are buying new properties will feel it, and the housing affordability of properties across the state is a real issue. More and more, you know, massive surge in stamp duty collections, and that affects everyone across the community.
Fiona Patton was complaining about the lack of payroll tax initiatives.
Well, that's another set of issues, certainly, and that affects employment. So there's real issues. You know, everywhere you look on the revenue side, people are being hit and hit hard with massive take. You know, when you move to the spending side, I don't think there's an increase in the spending programs that you'd expect. I think what the government is doing is paying off mates in certain areas of the public sector with a significant increase in costs there without the same level of service delivery that perhaps people would expect.
That's a pretty big call. What have you got to prove that?
Well, when you look at the increase in spending across a number of areas, the public sector has seen a very significant increase, but in most areas, when you actually look at the outcomes, the final results of spending, the increases haven't been there. The outcomes that you'd expect for such a massive increase in taxation across the budget.
The Minister for Mental Health, Martin Foley, has committed some $27.5 million to new suicide prevention initiatives, wanting to halve the state's suicides within a short space of time. That's a big call.
All support for suicide prevention is welcome, and certainly a number of those initiatives can lead to good dividends, and we'd certainly be welcoming initiatives that are focused on outcomes of that type.
What commitment does the Liberal Party here in this state make to LGBTI Victorians? Are you going to ensure that these departments, this portfolio remains?
Sure, and certainly our record in government is the first pillar on which we would strongly point and say, actually, we had a very good record in government, not just the expungement legislation and the support for decriminalisation of Section 19A, increases in support for mental health, increases in support for rapid testing and key steps like that. So that's our record. Obviously, in opposition, we will be looking to develop policies as we move towards 2018. And certainly I'm engaging with a number of people on those issues now.
Disappointing to see no money allocated to the epidemic of ICE and gay men's use of it in this budget?
That is an area that needs a significant focus. So I think there are a number of initiatives with respect to ICE, but I haven't cited any initiative that type you've outlined, although I freely confess there's more work to feed my way, or work my way through all of the budget.
It is a big document.
The one point I'd make as an additional comment is I think we've got to be careful to make sure that in bringing together services, Melbourne Sexual Health and the Pronto rapid testing, that the identity of services is strongly maintained and there's no opportunity taken by government to diminish any output.
Is there any suggestion that those services will be combined?
Well, I'm always watching to see, as the government brings things together, that they make sure that the individual identity of services is maintained and that outputs and support is kept at a good level.
Well, I noticed the very carefully worded media release from the Victorian AIDS Council last week when the Pride Centre was announced, and their wish to at least have an independent decision for their own future moving forward. So we'll see what happens in that space, I guess.
I think that's important. As you go forward, you need to build on strengths and you need to be very careful not to diminish or lose things as you step forward.
David Davis, thank you very much for joining us on The Informer this evening. I appreciate your time.
Pleasure.
And now for her take on this state budget for 2016-2017, we're joined by Anna Brown, former convener of the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby. And Anna, it's got a lot in it for our communities.
Yeah, that's for sure. I think we've got some really big wins here. It's fantastic news all around. I'm still rolling around the floor in delight. I don't know about you.
We've had $4 million for grant programs to strengthen the sustainability of LGBTI community organisations and to support LGBTI community leaders who help Victorians live free from discrimination. That line item is quite groundbreaking.
Oh, that's fantastic. I think what we've seen in this budget in particular is a shift from treating our community simply as a community with health needs to a community or communities that need to be developed as those communities. So we're seeing investment in a Pride Centre and our organisations and leaders, as you say, that help make us richer and help really develop a culture and a sense of well-being and a safe space for our members to be free to be who they are. It's fantastic.
The Hay Grants, of which Joy has been a beneficiary of previously, has received a $500,000 boost, totaling $1.15 million, and that is to develop programs to aid the mental health of young LGBTI people throughout the community. Always a worthwhile initiative, I would have thought.
Yes, and I mean, really, that's building on the success of the programs to date. So I think, I mean, they're universally, I would have thought, viewed as being incredibly worthwhile and successful, and it's great to see them shored up for the future as well. I mean, going back to the funding for community organisations, I guess we don't need to point out that many of us, I think Joy included, and obviously people like yourself, Dean, do what they do in their spare time and on the smell of an oily rag or even less. And so with these sorts of grants programs and the Pride Centre, I think we're going to see a real boost in our ability to, like I said, develop as a community and really grow, which is fantastic.
The budget also mentions, following the Royal Commission into Family Violence, that LGBTI people are also victims of family violence and are also quite prevalent in homelessness. And there is money being devoted towards that as well. Good stuff.
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, it's obviously really troubling when you look at the stats that, you know, half to two-thirds of people in LGBTI relationships don't access support when they experience family violence. So it's really important that there's a recognition that this is a problem for our communities, and there needs to be some really specific attention paid to the unique challenges, not only for same-sex relationships and violence within those relationships, but children who are forced into homelessness when they're rejected from their families. So there's the homelessness investment, and I think there's a lot in there for homelessness, which is great, but also family violence. I mean, we've got the $145,000 for the Victorian AIDS Council Men's Behaviour Change Program, which is great, recognising that mainstream behaviour change programs aren't necessarily appropriate for or even accept gay and bisexual men. And then $2.5 million for research and tailored programs that respond to violence within LGBTI communities. So that's really going to provide the start of what we need to tackle the unique challenges facing our families and our relationships, which is just fantastic.
I think we should consider ourselves very lucky today, don't you think?
Yeah, I really think we are leading the way. Victoria, we're soon going to see a drain of, I think, queer community to Victoria if our government keeps this up, because it, you know, along with the law reform and all the leadership from our Premier on, you know, whether it's Gaby Baby or Safe Schools, I think Victoria really is the place to be if you're LGBTI at the moment. It's great.
Thank you, Anna Brown. We're going to have to leave it there. Thanks for your time tonight.
Thank you.
Well, one man who I think might have had a little bit of a heads up about the state budget and what was in it for the LGBTI community, because he was all over BuzzFeed, Micah Scott, CEO of Minus 18. Micah, a good day for our community, it seems.
It's pretty good, isn't it? There's a lot of exciting new announcements that have been said today, which is very promising for our community.
Tell me what you're most excited about for your Minus 18 constituents.
Sure. Well, for us, we've been pushing for quite some time now and looking at the way that, some of the services around the state are really working together to support LGBTI young people, and identified quite a number of regional areas that lack accessibility to support services. This is due mostly to location, but also, you know, a reliance on parents for transport. So with the new budget, the investment in the regional support against homophobia, transphobia in those areas through the roadshow is pretty exciting, and the other support services there.
The roadshow itself is something that I've been quite excited about for quite some time, and it's now looks like it's not only going to be happening one year, but it might happen for a few years. $2.5 million overall, broken up over 4 years, but it means that Rowena Allen and others will be able to get out into our rural communities and really connect.
It sounds pretty extravagant, doesn't it? And, you know, a roadshow sounds pretty glitzy and glamour, but I don't think Ro Allen can sing very well, so let's hope that they leave it to someone else.
Of course, Micah, you must have had your finger on the pulse with Safe Schools. Daniel Andrews is well and truly committed to that, and our education system and our schools seem to have got a bit of a bolster this budget round too.
Yeah, look, the Andrews government commitment to Safe Schools Coalition, you know, since the beginning, but also over the last 6 months through all the federal government nonsense has just been unwavering, and it's pretty exciting. They're a very, very strong supporter of ours and a great partner of Minus 18, and the impact that's having on the everyday lives of LGBTI young people right across the state, you know, it's where they spend the majority of their time at school, and this shouldn't really be a program that's available in some schools. The fact that it's going to be rolled out to all schools throughout the state, you know, it's going to impact literally hundreds of thousands of lives, and it's just something that we couldn't be more excited for.
It'll be very transformative. Finally, Micah, before we let you go, the Hay Grants, the Healthy Equal Youth Grant, which is all around mental health for young people, that too has had another $500,000 injected into it, to a total of 1.15 mil.
Yeah, so the grants program is such a cool investment. You know, so many organisations and initiatives that support LGBTI young people in particular tend to go unfunded, or, you know, there's some really great ideas that young people have, but of course there's not a lot of money available for ideas built up by young people. And as an organisation that really sees the potential and the power of youth-led projects, it's really, really quite exciting. You know, young people have kind of sparked some new ideas in this area. A lot of the resources created for schools have been initiatives of young people. So for more opportunities for these sorts of projects to be funded, I think we're going to see some really exciting and really new initiatives over the next couple of years.
Yeah, I think so too. Micah, before we let you go, Minus 18 copped a bit of a battering throughout that Safe Schools carry-on. How's the organisation going, and how did you manage to sustain spirits whilst you were being attacked from all sides?
You know what? There's nothing like a bit of fire in your belly to be ignited by a hate speech, you know? When it all first came out, attacking the same-sex and the diverse formal, you know, it gave us a real kick up the butt to rally the community and call everyone to action.
And boy, did they rally.
Mate, we were making international news just around that, our response to the homophobia and the transphobia was to turn an event which was, you know, a pretty small community event into one with nearly 600 LGBTI young people all coming for free, all because their tickets were funded by community members from right around the country. And so, I guess to answer your question directly, it was the response of the community that kept us going, and everyone's support and kind messages that keep us running today.
Keep up the great work, won't you?
Thank you very much. We will.
Micah Scott, CEO of Minus 18, joining us on The Informer. Well, sadly, we haven't been able to get on to Bobby Ray, who is our Pink News correspondent in London. So I will just go through the Victorian state budget with you, just to give you an outline of what it was that the Andrews Labor government have given to the LGBTI communities in this announcement. It is, of course, the $15 million Pride Centre that was pre-announced last week. In addition to that, a $4 million for a grants program to strengthen the sustainability of LGBTI community organisations and to support LGBTI community leaders who help Victorians live free from discrimination. $2.5 million for initiatives that combat homophobia, biphobia and transphobia. This includes the Commissioner Rowena Allen's rural and regional program, a roadshow that will go right out through the regional Victoria and help build better access to support and delivery of LGBTI education and training for mainstream services throughout rural and regional Victoria. A $6.4 million package for the expansion of the gender dysphoria health services at Monash Hospital, and $1.15 million, which will go towards the expansion of the Healthy Equal Youth Grants, or the Hay Grants as they're known, which is all about mental health programs for young people in the LGBTI community. A huge package, some $29 million worth of goodies there, and of course we will benefit from other funds that are being put forward to the family violence initiatives and also the homelessness initiatives as well. So I would suggest a pretty good day for us and our little state here in Victoria. Thank you very much for joining me on The Informer tonight. A big thank you to all of my guests. David Davis, the Shadow Minister for Equality, Anna Brown, Sally Goldner, Micah Scott. And thank you so much for listening. Tune in tonight on Hide and Seek from 9 p.m. when the Minister for Equality, Martin Foley, will join us on the program. Till next time, keep well, take care, bye-bye.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.